Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's go to the hotline. We welcome in the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Good morning, guys.
Hi. Wow, I thought we weren't going to have you again. Would have been third week in a row. My goodness gracious. You take these vacations and you just gallivanting all along this place. This is amazing here. It's good to have you back, Daryl.
Good
you
to
feeling?
Be back. Ready for football.
You know, sounds like it. All right, Daryl, first off, I will ask you about the Guardians and their logo coming up here in a bit. We will get you on the record about that. But the Browns, they unveiled their own 75th anniversary logo. What was your thoughts? Or 75th anniversary logo and uniform, of course.
Yeah, I love them. The jersey references 1946 and what the team wore in their inaugural season. I like what they did with the helmet as far as mixing some eras together, taking off the Oreo stripe, replacing it with just the singular white, putting the brown numerals on the sides of the helmet, which they did wear that. And they won a couple NFL championships with numbers on the helmets as well. And then the gray face mask, of course. So I think that they did an outstanding job. It's a fantastic look. And quite frankly, I think it's too bad they're only allowed to wear them three times this season.
I love what you said about the fact that, yeah, they actually did win with numbers on the helmet. The people that come on and talk about no logo, that's our thing, tradition, they're just picking their tradition that they like.
Right.
So I'm that's a very astute thing that you said, Daryl. The one thing I don't understand, I don't love that drop shadow thing, that 3D effect on the numbers. And am I wrong? I'm kind of colorblind sometimes. Is that orange a different shade of the orange that's on the helmet? Because if so, I don't understand that.
Well, the drop shadow, okay, that's not something that they came up with in the design room. That is a replica of what they wore in 1946. The 1946 uniforms had that style word mark as far as the numerals go and the drop shadow. So it's authentic to what they wore in 1946. They didn't just come up with a design.
Okay, what about the shade then?
Year. The shade, that it's hard for me to tell.
Okay.
I'm not going to nitpick the actual Pantone color of orange that was selected. But the helmet, by the way, there's a lot of question about, well, I thought the NFL only had a one-shell rule. They still have a one-shell rule for this season. Next year, they'll be allowed to wear two different color helmets if they choose. The historically accurate helmet for the Browns to wear, if they were just going to honor 1946, would be an all-white helmet. That was the first color helmet that the Browns wore in 1946. It was all white. But so what they're going to do is the equipment staff will be very busy this year, swapping out the face mask, changing the stripe on the helmet, and then, of course, adding the numerals. But it will be the same base shell as the traditional orange helmet that they will wear throughout the season.
I am a tremendous fan of the helmet. I really like the helmet, and I understand, like, all they really do is swipe out, you know, some the face masks and the stickers, like you said, but I really like them.
I'm going to say something sacrilegious.
Oh.
I actually prefer, now that I've looked at it, I actually prefer the singular white stripe over the Oreo stripe. I just think it looks sharper and cleaner, and I know that is like a bridge too far for some Browns fans, but I think it's a much cleaner look than the Oreo stripe. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're not going to do it with me? Fine.
Well, no. So you're saying you would go with this permanently, that striping?
The striping, yeah, I would. I think it pops a lot better than the traditional Oreo stripe.
Well, they also showed that these are obviously whites. Do they have, will they have a different version of this with,
no.
with the, oh, they won't. It'll just be the whites.
This is basically, it's replacing the Color Rush uniform that they wore last year. So this commemorative anniversary with the 1946 patch on and all that, this basically replaces the Color Rush uniform in the rotation. And again, I believe they get to wear it three times this coming season.
I did say this to Lyman because there were some people who were critical of the jerseys, which they were the first jerseys the team ever wore. So, like, they were really worn. Like, some people were critical of them. It's like, well, that's the way it goes. I did have this theory behind it, though. Are you ready for this, Daryl?
Yeah.
Is that you have those jerseys with that type of numbering. Remember the old terrible jerseys that we wore for 5 years? Then you had Color Rush that we petitioned the NFL to make those the permanent jerseys for that while that was going on. Then we got our classic jerseys back. I mean, we've had four jerseys in the last 3 years. I mean, this is a bit much. Really, four jerseys in the last 2 years, 24 months. This is a lot of different changes here. So I can see where some people were kind of like, all right, can we just 75th anniversary, I get it, but can we just move on with this then? Can we just do that?
I think they'll go back to the regular rotation, the Color Rush. Maybe they'll come up with a new Color Rush uniform or whatever. But, yeah, they came up with this to pay homage to the inaugural season in 1946. And then also just the with the helmet, the different eras in which the franchise enjoyed success. So I think they did it's somewhat of a mashup because it's not just a pure 1946 uniform. The pants they're wearing will be the team's current pants that actually match what they're, you know, match their jerseys and the helmet already. But I really think that they did a nice job coming up with this particular design. And again, for those that are complaining about that shadow boxing, that orange shadow boxing, the font that they're using and the style, that is reflective of what was actually worn back in 1946.
Daryl Ryder joining us here on the show. Real quick to clarify, can they in 3 years do the 75th anniversary again because they didn't play for 3 years?
Well, sure. Yeah, they could do the, instead of anniversary, it'd be the 75th season that they would celebrate.
There you go, Tom.
Yeah.
Oh, they're definitely going to do something like that.
Well, I mean, the NFL, look what the NFL did with the 100th season and 100th anniversary. They got, you know, their bang for the buck there. So, yeah, you could still do that.
Hey, do you think, obviously, Daryl, for years, the NFL was kind of the boring uniform league in terms of making sure, you know, like if you pick new uniforms, you had to keep them for 5 years no matter what. They really wanted to protect the shield, protect the way that it looked on TV. And now I just wonder if they're following what's happened in college football and the NBA where they're like, wait, we can make more money selling more merchandise. Who cares that we're not boring anymore? Let's take risks. Let's let teams change stuff all the time. Like I think it's only going to get worse in terms of uniforms, helmet, logos. I think you might start to see a ton more going forward because the NFL and these teams realize, oh yeah, we'll sell it. It's all going to sell.
Yeah, they're going to turn into the NBA, I think, eventually. It's funny. You look at the Cavaliers, they've got great colors, wine and gold, but they wear everything but wine and gold. I think that the NFL is kind of moving in that direction. A big step is the one-shell helmet rule being shelved after this year. Next year, they'll be able to wear two different shells, which will allow teams to wear more throwback looks. And right now, Anthony, the throwback look is in. The retro stuff is in. It's fans want to see it. The teams have embraced it. So I think starting next year when they go to the two-shell helmet rule, you're going to see a lot more throwbacks just for the specific reason that you said, not so much that it looks good and it's cool and it's awesome and whatever. It's because they see dollar signs and cash registers ringing.
Daryl Ryder joining us here on the hotline. Daryl, you talked to OBJ yesterday, that up 92.3thefan.com. Daryl, is he still a star in pop culture?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
What about now? What about to the regular football fan? Is he a star, or has that fallen a little bit because of the injuries over the last couple of years?
I think that how he's viewed at the position, I don't think he's viewed by fans as a top receiver anymore. And that's because of the injuries, not because of his skill. It's just because he's not been on the field. So in my view, I still think he's got that in him. I think he can still be a top wide receiver in the NFL. But as far as fans, I don't think you hear them talking about him as being an elite receiver like they did when he was with the New York Giants. And that's, again, strictly because of injury.
Darrell Reiter, join us on the hotline. I thought it was interesting what Odell said at the camp with you in your exclusive one-on-one interview, which we have hyped up throughout the morning here on The Fan.
Darrell, awesome.
Where he talked about numbers and how, you know, his numbers probably not going to ever, be, at least with the Browns in this offense, with this many weapons, probably not going to be the numbers from Odell's first 3 years. I guess what I wonder is, what does Odell have to do this year to be back with the Browns next year, considering how the contract works and no guaranteed money after this year?
Yeah, and they will have a fiscal decision that they have to make, right? I mean, that's what people are going to want to talk about is, and have talked about, Anthony, is how long can they keep both Odell and Jarvis Landry at their current salary levels? I don't know what those numbers need to look like. What I am curious to see, first of all, I hope I take him at his word. I hope that he is able to fit within this offense seamlessly because, look, they showed last year that they can win without him. And I think that caught his attention, how successful they were, the narrative that popped up that the Browns don't need Odell Beckham. And I think that he wants to show that, yeah, they still need me. But I also think that he's also understanding of the composition of the roster, what they have offensively, and realizing that he's not going to get his typical targets. You know, one week Kareem Hunt gets beat. The next week it'll be Nick Chubb. The next week it'll be Odell. The next week it'll be Jarvis. That's the beauty of this offense. But on the flip side, if you're these players, and let's be honest about, all players want touches. And that gets such a negative connotation because it tends to lead to things behind the scenes and players griping. But as long as you're winning, that's all that matters. Typically the griping about touches comes in losing. That's when guys get upset because it's like, hey, if you get me the ball, maybe we're not losing. You have to get me the ball for us to win. So I think if the Browns do what everyone expects them to do, and that's win and win often this year, I don't think you're going to hear any griping behind the scenes about who's getting the touches.
Peter King's loving the Browns, and he brought up one of the reasons is where there's a lot of them that are vaccinated. Now, we know about Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, but Baker Mayfield was one of, what, three quarterbacks to talk about it? That's it. They feel that this might be a competitive advantage this year, yeah, especially with the other team that he cited, the Bills, where it's gotten very public with Cole Beasley and and a few of his teammates.
Yeah, I think it is a competitive advantage. The protocols, if you're vaccinated versus unvaccinated, if you test positive or different, now they can't disclose vaccine status and they can't disclose positive tests. So for the sake of discussion, let's say JOK was not vaccinated and tested positive and is symptomatic. Well, he has to be quarantined for 10 days. Now, let's say he's vaccinated, but he tested positive. He needs two negative tests, 24 hours separated, and then he can come back. That's a pretty significant difference there as far as the protocols go. The NFL has put this basically in place. Legally, they can't say you have to get vaccinated. So what they have done is they have made it very advantageous for you to get vaccinated. They've given the players the incentive, aside from the medical knowledge and answering the medical questions they might have about vaccination. They have put policies in place that behoove players and teams to get their guys vaccinated.
Dangerous Darrell Reiter joining us here on the show. Guardians, name and logo. What do you like? What don't you like? Go.
Name's fine. the logos. I wish they would have taken a little more time behind the scenes to work on the brand, but Father Time just wasn't on their side. They needed to get this stuff in line for production, so it was ready for 2022. Hopefully that evolves over time. The script looks like someone sat in front of Photoshop and just went through the fonts. And I know where they were going with the baseball and the helmet wings, but I think that they could have come up with something a little better with a little more time.
You mean they're never going to use that? Is that what you're saying? What are you talking about?
No, they're going to use it. No, my point is I wish they would have come up with something better. I think that they could have come up with something a lot better than, I think they call it the fastball logo, than that baseball with the helmet wings on it. I just think that there's something better they could have done there. The other thing too is my biggest, I guess you could say, gripe is they stuck with red, white, and blue.
Why is that a gripe?
Because my whole thing with the name change is, if you're going to change, then change it all. I realize the patriotic theming, the attachment to red, white, and blue, and whatnot, but I would have, if I were in charge, I would have just wiped the slate clean with a completely fresh design and look. But I also understand why they did it. Fans are very attached to the color scheme. The script Indians that they've had for the better part of 75 years, they wanted to kind of pay homage to that with the script and all those type of things. But from my perspective, I think that they could have done something just mind-blowing with the actual imagery in the brand. But again, you know, they picked the name in June. They spent about a month and a half coming up with the design. And they had to kind of get this stuff in the pipeline so that they could get themselves ready for a 2022 launch. So time just was not on their side. But I look for the brand to evolve over the coming years here. Look for different logos. Look for, you know, potentially a different script look and things like that. And ultimately, the fans are going to decide. They were very influential in the design process here and the thought process with going to Guardians. So if the fans don't respond to the new logos, then yeah, I could see the organization expediting, you know, tweaking their new brand.
Darryl, we thank you for the hot times. All the best.
You got it, guys. Talk to you soon.
The Dangerous One, Darryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Someone writes up here on the board, Comrade Ryder, once red and yellow. Was that you, Owen? There you go.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.